Investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. Here we go again. We welcome you back. It's time for another edition of the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. We're getting things rolling with yet another hour. The best, I believe, in money information. Professor Rick Plum returns once again from Lucia Capital Group. He's here with me, Johnny Dean. Every day he's here with me. Got a whole bunch of stuff to cover. Your phone calls, though, will come first. You are required to take part in the program, and your chance to call in is right now. We do have some people on hold, but we still have a couple of lines open. If you got a money or strategy question, we are here to answer it for you, help you out. Here's what you do. You go to your phone, you give us a call, 877-PLANNER, that's 877-752-6637, spells out PLANNER. You can also send us your email questions, your comments, your concerns. You do so at wealtheds.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link. You just fill in the blanks there. Send it to us. We will answer those money questions here live on the air. Wealth education, that's what we do on the show. It's what we try to do. Is we try to provide to you every single day. And much of what you see and hear on our show can be found right there at wealtheds.com. If you have questions on that, you can go there. You can also contact the Brain Trust off the air. Their phone number, 800-644-1150 at Lucia Capital Group. You give them a call, meet with a Brain Trust advisor, and go over your individual situation, one that requires individual attention. You get your bucket strategy going. Call Professor Plum. Any of the advisors would be happy to help you out at Lucia Capital Group. They bring us this hour of the program, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number, 800-644-1150. Got some more to say on Roth conversions. We did not finish covering those in one of the previous hours, so we will do so during different parts of this hour. But I want to take some calls first, Professor Plum. So let's move along to Don in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
Oh, turn your radio down there, Don.
Are you with us, Don?
Are you with us, Don?
Okay. Still got the radio going.
Tell
I can
you
hear
what,
that.
Tell you what. Hang on a second. I'm going to have Daniel talk to you. Maybe he can't hear us or whatever. I don't know if that's the radio or if that's the equipment. But anyway, hang on just a second. Okay. So now while we do that, if we can get Don, I should mention, too, I think Portland might be one of the cities where we're going to be going.
March 19th.
Is that the 19th? Okay. Where the Brain Trust is going to be hanging out. I didn't mention this enough last hour. I should do it again this hour since I have time here for just a moment. If you want to meet the Brain Trust live and in person, there are going to be different workshops going on throughout the country. The next one happens February 20th. That's just a tick away from here. February 20th in Las Vegas, Nevada, is the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshop. Las Vegas is Saturday, February 20th. Meet Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, and the entire Brain Trust Squad in Las Vegas. You'll also see them in Seattle, Washington on the 27th of February. And March 12th, a couple of weeks after that, the Phoenix, Arizona. So Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. You can get to the Brain Trust at wealtheds.com. Meet them, as I said, it's all free, wealtheds.com. All right, now, let's see. Well, did I have the wrong name? Was that what it was? Okay. Well, is it Vince? I'm not sure who we're going to. Okay, all right. Well, I apologize. Maybe these names got mixed up. Let's go to Vince up next. Hello, Vince.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, I can. Okay, maybe we had different names. I think the different names in the different boxes got mixed up. So, Vince, yes, go right ahead. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Portland.
Okay, Vince in Portland.
Vince
That's
in Portland.
What it was. All right, Vince, I apologize. Go right ahead. I know you got a question.
It's okay. I've been listening to the show this morning, and thanks. You have a great show. I was following the part where you were talking about the Roth IRA conversion. Mm-hmm. And the question I have is, and because I got conflicting information from someone else that happened to be my tax preparer, the question is, if I make a conversion from my IRA into my Roth IRA that I have going, I established the Roth IRA in March of 2012, and so to meet the five-year clock window, I believe that would happen January of 2017.
That is true.
Okay. The question is then, related to that, is if I do a conversion from my IRA to my Roth IRA, the tax preparer told me that if I did that, that it, that every additional conversion that I put into the Roth begins a new five-year clock.
Well, it does and it doesn't. There are 2 5-year clocks ticking. How old are you right now, Vince?
65. Yeah, 65.
Oh, yeah, 65. So you're over 59 and a half. So you don't have to worry about one of the series of five-year rules. And the five-year rule that resets with every year of conversion is the penalty rule. And that one goes away when you turn 59 and a half. So we can disregard that one because you're already 59 and a half. Now we only have to worry about distributions of qualified nature. And unfortunately, I'm going to disagree with your tax preparer. Once you have had any Roth IRA going for at least 5 tax years, regardless of what happens after that, all distributions, once you are 5 years in, at least 5 tax years, and you're 59 and a half, any distribution from any portion of any Roth IRA will be a qualified distribution and tax-free. The 5-year rule that he's talking about, or he's maybe confused about, is the penalty rule. If you're 50 years old and you make a conversion today, and even though you may have had previous Roth IRAs, the conversion today has a 5-year rule. If you withdraw converted principal from a Roth IRA within 5 tax years of doing so, there's a 10% penalty. But only to the extent that there would have been a 10% penalty if you had withdrawn it from a traditional IRA. So the 10% penalty goes away at 59 and a half. So like if I set up a Roth IRA in 2012, that was a conversion. And then I do another conversion in 13, 14, 15. And then in 2017, I start taking distributions from my Roth IRA, I'm first withdrawing my contributions, if I have any. Once I don't have any of those, then I'm going to start looking at converted principal years. Did I have any converted principal from more than 5 years ago? If yes, then I can withdraw that without a penalty. And I can also withdraw it without taxes because I've already paid the taxes on it. That's what I did when I converted it. But if I withdraw money from a principal that I converted within 5 tax years and I'm under 59 and a half, that carries a 10% penalty. They don't want you doing a conversion today and then being able to take the money out in the next couple of years from a Roth IRA that without a penalty, where you would have had a penalty from the traditional IRA. So they put this 5-year issue going in there. But once you get to 59 and a half, there's no penalty. And once you get to 59 and a half and have had Roth IRAs continuously for more than 5 tax years, qualified distribution all the way across the board.
All right, I think I understand now. Maybe not.
You do. Vince, in 2000, what was it, 17? 12, 13, yeah. 14, 15, 16. Once you get to 2017, qualified distribution, all tax-free. It doesn't matter if you converted it the week before. It doesn't matter if you converted it the year before, 2 years before,
because then
15 years before,
both
everything is tax-free.
Okay, but let me ask you this. It's going to be 1 year from now until I reach that January 2017.
Mm-hmm.
If I make the conversion this month or next month,
yep,
it will earn income.
Hopefully.
Starting whenever I do that.
Right.
And if I don't, I'm not planning to take money out of that account for maybe 10 years.
Well, then you really don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so it's going to earn, and I'll be able to withdraw without any 10% penalties, really, any time after January 2017. Is that correct?
No, you can withdraw without a penalty at any time you want, at any time, because you're 65 years old. The penalties only apply if you withdraw something before you're 59 and a half. You're past 59 and a half.
I'm already way past that. That's not even an issue.
So we don't talk about penalties. That 10% penalty is a non-issue for you. You will never have a 10% penalty.
Okay, but the other person was telling me that every conversion that I make would start a new 5-year clock ticking, and I wouldn't.
And it does.
To have,
It does until you reach 59 and a half. But once you reach 59 and a half, it doesn't anymore. That's only
for somebody else, but for me, that's not an issue.
Exactly.
Right.
For me, it's an issue because I haven't made it to 59 and a half yet. Okay. For you, not a problem.
The person who told me that was confused then.
Yes. And it is confusing. There are two different five-year sets of rules.
I thought I was correct. I argued with him. He said, I'll check it out and I'll prove it to you. And I said, that's fine. But that's why I'm calling you to clarify that I am correct.
Before he checks it out, get some money on the table. Come on.
Yeah, you might want to make a bet. Vince, that is correct. If you have some more questions, hang on. I do have to take a break. I know it's confusing, and so we should try to clear this up because I'm glad you brought it up. That's something we were going to talk about anyway. So hold on if you need to. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy. We're here answering your questions. This is what we live for. It's what we exist for, making sure that you understand exactly what it is that you have or what it is that's happening to you, either from a tax perspective or a saving perspective, retirement planning perspective, whatever it is. We open up the phone lines for you, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, happy to help you out in any way that we can. So we will clarify this in just a little while. On the Roth five-year clock and all that stuff, because yes, I agree, it is confusing. You have to kind of follow it, and it can be very confusing since there are two different sets, but it also has to do with your age. So we will talk about that. But I know that I had told Vince if he has some more questions to hang on. So Vince, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I know you have a few more questions, so please go right ahead.
Thank you very much. I had a follow-up on that other thing.
Yeah.
And I heard you talking about this earlier today in the show, but I was thinking about doing about a 30 grand conversion, and like you talked about how sometimes it can be a benefit to do that when the stock markets are at a low,
mm-hmm.
as far as recovering it without paying taxes on the other side.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, you know, I know that everybody says don't be a market timer, but my gut feeling tells me that we're just heading into a recession and that it's not to the bottom yet. Maybe
I'm not going to argue with you.
Months to go.
That's the problem with doing the conversion when you think it's low, because we never really know when the bottom is, right?
That's true, and I don't claim to have a crystal ball or anything, but I have a feeling that it's probably a couple of months away.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking, if I wait a couple of months to do this, and it's a 30K conversion, does it make sense at my age? And I told you I didn't intend to start using that. This is going to be my bucket number three money.
Mm-hmm.
Not take it out for maybe 8 or 10 years.
I would say it probably makes a little bit. You want a little longer time horizon, but depending on how much it comes back, if it comes back super strong, then it makes tremendous sense in an 8 or 10 year time horizon. But I would typically look at, you know, needing a little bit more time to make it really make sense. But I think that if you can do it at a low price and then they have the market come back at a better than average rate, because you're potentially, if you time it right, lucky you, can get it done, then you get a very good return and you avoid quite a bit of taxes. And it also avoids the required minimum distributions on that in a couple of years when you get to 70 and a half.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was looking at. But I am in the 25% tax bracket now, and I expect to stay there.
Yeah, and so, you know, paying 20, it sounds like you've already figured it out. You're looking forward into the future saying it's 25 now, 25 later. Would I rather pay 25 on a potential 30,000 today than hopefully 100,000 later on, or some number greater than that? And that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, very good.
Now it's just timing it, right?
Exactly. This is the part that trips everybody up. So I'm no different.
Yeah, and if it does continue down and down and down, and you towards the end of this year decide to do the conversion, and then we're wrong about the timing, and then next year where we hope that it goes back up. It doesn't go back up, and it continues on a downward trend even through the first part of next year. You can always undo it until October 15th, basically. So people,
you have one year to undo it?
Not a year necessarily. It's October 15th of the year following. So, you know, people who did conversions in January of last year, 2015, have until October 17th this year, only because the 15th is on a Saturday, to undo the conversion that they did, you know, 14 months ago.
You do a conversion today, you have until October of 2017
to undo it. Yeah. And so if you do it in December, you don't have as much time to undo it as if you do the conversion in January. But so it's not just a one-year time horizon. It's up until the due date plus extensions with your tax return for the following year. So you always have that in your back pocket.
One more comment, if I may.
Sure.
Looking into my crystal ball here, I think that the economy is not really going to turn up until after the elections occur.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you. My crystal ball, I think, is maybe no clearer, maybe even more clouded than your crystal ball, but neither one of our crystal balls are perfect. And so what is going to happen over the next year or 2 years is a roll of the dice.
I tell you what, does that help you out, Vince?
It does. Thank you for the clarification.
You're very welcome. And thank you for asking those questions that we need to cover anyway. We didn't quite have time to get to last hour, especially with regard to the Roth conversions and the five-year rule. So, okay, let's see if we can make it simple, because I think even though, you know, as we were talking last segment, people may perhaps still be a little confused as to how these things work. Roth IRAs, mm-hmm. First of all, you have two different five-year clocks. There's one that has to do with contributory Roth IRA.
Well, there's one that has to do with earnings and what's known as qualified distributions. And there's one that if you're not in a situation where you have a qualified distribution, you have to look at what is it that you're taking out of the Roth IRA. Because once we get to a qualified distribution, and that means that we've had Roth IRAs continuously for at least 5 years, and we're 59 and a half, unfortunately passed away, or we're disabled, or we want to take some money out for a first-time home purchase, now we have the ability to take a qualified distribution. So let's focus on retirement. Once we've had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years, and we're at least 59 and a half, any and every distribution from any and every Roth IRA in our name is considered a qualified distribution.
Meaning tax-free.
A qualified distribution is totally tax-free. The only issue is if we do not meet the qualified distribution definition, and we're taking money out of our Roth IRA before we get to a qualified distribution time horizon, meaning before we've had 5 years and age 59 and a half. So if you started your Roth IRA at 40, you're 43 and you want to take money out. You're 48 and you want to take money out. You're at any age before 59 and a half, and you're not you haven't died, you're not disabled, you're not taking it out for your first-time home purchase, now it is not a qualified distribution. So when it's not a qualified distribution, we have to go to the ordering rules, the distribution ordering rules. What is coming out of the Roth IRA?
FIFO.
And the Roth IRA has a very specific set of rules for what's coming out. And they don't care about the count. They don't care about how closely you're accounting for it or anything. They're looking at categories of assets in the Roth IRA. Contributions. Do you have contributions in the Roth IRA? And if you have contributions, those are coming out first. Even if the contributions were made after the conversion, contributions come out first. And once you've withdrawn the contributions, now they're going to start looking at converted principal. Because there's three types of money, basically, in there: contributions, conversions, and earnings. Contributions, anytime, for any reason, come out tax-free, penalty-free. Conversions, more than 5 years, tax-free, penalty. Conversions within 5 years, each conversion carries a five-year clock until you get to qualified distributions.
And you're talking about 59 and a half, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had at least some Roth IRA somewhere.
For five-plus years.
So if you don't have a Roth IRA, it might be a good time, good idea to just put $100 in or something.
If you're 54, start one.
That's right. Get the clock ticking. Okay. Hope that helps you out. If you have questions, call us on that or anything else. Lines are open, 877-PLANNER. We're coming right back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here to help you out every day with your money and money strategies, all of that. If you've got a money question, we got some lines open now. Finally, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637, trying to help you out. We've been talking for a good portion of today about Roth conversions and Roth conversion strategies. Should you do it? When is a good time to convert? What should you convert? That's another question too, Professor Plum. What should you convert if you're thinking about doing a Roth conversion into a Roth IRA?
Well, normally people look at a Roth IRA as a longer-term investment, and it's money that they're trying to avoid distributions from required minimum distributions. And so normally they're going to be investing for growth, like our previous callers have talked about putting it as part of their bucket number three, the long-term growth bucket. But that's not always the case for everybody, because there's two ways to invest your Roth IRA, in my opinion. One is for growth, and that is as much for you in the long-term time horizon, or successive generations, or a surviving spouse down the line years from now. The other way is to help create income, high tax-free income. So one of the best investments for retirees, in many respects, is to have an investment in a high-income asset that creates high tax-free income, which opens up more room in their tax bracket to be able to do more conversions. So depending upon what's going on, where the income's coming from, and how you've set your life up, whether you invest it for growth, that's one way to do conversions, or you invest it for income so that you can have money to live off of while you continue to do Roth conversions. It can make a lot of sense. Either way, it all depends on you.
So you talked also about undoing it. There's a way to do it. And, you know, I think there are some people who, at the beginning of the year, decide, I'm going to take all of my IRAs and I'm going to convert them all to Roth. And I don't have to pay the taxes yet, because that won't happen until next year. And then somewhere during the course of the year, what do? They undo some of it?
Yeah, it's a popular thing that was written about many times, mostly, I think, by journalists, not by people that actually do this, because it's a giant pain. But in January, you convert 100% of your money to Roth. And then when you do your tax return the following April, you know, 16 months later, you decide how much you actually want to pay taxes on. And so you then undo the point. You basically tailor your tax return by undoing the conversion that you don't want to pay taxes on. And so you can, you know, make sure that it stays where you want it to stay. That's somebody who writes about it, that makes a lot of sense. Somebody who has to do the paperwork, it makes no sense. It's a pain in the keister to, hey, it's not that hard. It's just a lot of paperwork to do. So that is one way you can do it. But the key thing there is you can't undo one if you don't want to pay the taxes, or like what we're experiencing right now, the value has gone down. If you look at somebody who did a conversion maybe last June or July, as we were talking about, when the Dow Jones was over 18,000 and now it's at 15 something, you know, they're down, you know, a sizable amount, you know, and so they're saying, why do I want to pay taxes on money that I don't even have anymore? I mean, if I did a $10,000 conversion and it's only worth $8,500 now, I still pay tax on $10,000. I don't want to pay tax on $10,000. I want to undo it, put it back in the IRA so I don't have to pay the taxes on it. Now, I'm only putting the $8,500 back in the IRA, and so it's just like wiping it out, and so I don't have to pay tax on it. So a lot of people are looking right now when they're seeing their tax, or they will be looking in the next couple of weeks as they get their tax returns done, they're going to be looking to undo it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do have time. Conversions that were created in 2015 can be undone all the way until October 17th of this year. So you got some time to make up your mind.
So how do you do it? How do you undo it? It's a simple process, not so simple. What do you got to do?
Well, it's simple from what I'm going to tell you. You contact the brokerage firm that has your IRA, your Roth IRA, and say, I want to undo this, and have them do the paperwork.
Right.
Let them deal with the formulas for determining how much needs to be undone or how to undo it. It's not all that hard. It's just another step that some people don't like to deal with. You got to do more paperwork.
There you go.
And this is where people will get into, should I convert an IRA into an existing Roth IRA, or should I put it into its own Roth IRA? It's a lot easier to undo it if it's in its own IRA rather than commingled with other IRA monies, especially if you're undoing an asset that's way down. Maybe you have a speculative asset and you watched it drop a significant amount and you want to convert that over to a Roth IRA and you're hoping that it will recover. And unfortunately, your hopes are not coming to fruition. And not only did it not recover, but it kept going on the same trajectory down and it lost more money. But it's the only asset it's the only real asset that you have that lost money. Everything else kind of stayed the same. If you have it as a pool of other inside of one Roth IRA, you can't undo that specific security. You undo a percentage of the Roth IRA back to the traditional IRA. But if you put it into its own account, you can undo that one specific security. So when you're converting, you have to look at a lot of different areas of how you're going to do this. Typically, I like doing it especially if it's got a lot of volatility. I like putting in its own Roth IRA.
Yeah, just for ease of
undo that account.
You can. You may not want to, but it at least gives you the option. It makes it easier to do so.
And just like when you convert, you don't have to convert 100% of your IRA. When you unconvert and you recharacterize it back to a traditional IRA, you don't have to undo the whole thing. You can tailor it to how much you want to pay in taxes. So if you want to do some of it, you undo some of it, or you can undo all of it. Now, the follow-on question to that is, okay, I watched my $10,000 investment turn into $8,500. I did it last July.
You did a conversion.
I did a conversion last July. I don't want to pay taxes on it, so I undo it today and put the $8,500 back into my traditional IRA. Can I reconvert that money? Well, you have to wait till the longer of next tax year or 30 days. Well, they did the conversion last year, so I'm already into my next tax year. So I gotta go 30 days. So I have to wait 30 days to be able to reconvert that $8,500. And with my luck, it'll be $12,000 by the time I reconvert it. It's just the way it works, right?
It's the way timing works. Well, because if you paid taxes on $10,000, it's now worth $8,500.
I want to undo
really
it.
You'd rather undo it and try to pay taxes on $8,500.
And then reconvert it at the $8,500. But you know, I've got a 30-day window that I gotta sweat it.
30 days or if you did it now, you got to wait a whole year.
No, if I converted it in January and I unconvert it now, I can't reconvert it until
next year
because the original conversion was in 16.
Exactly.
But if I converted it last year
in December
and undid it now, I've got a 30-day window.
Yeah. Okay. One last thing.
Simple. This is real simple.
Are you following all this, folks? You're watching, listening out there, because this will be on the test. Actually, you know, Roth, some of it is complicated, but the Roth really can be a wonderful tool
for people. Oh, it's wonderful.
Because when you're planning on doing something tax-free, or you're planning on getting tax-free money, trying to figure out a way to grow assets inside of a Roth, because once you have whatever assets in a Roth, you typically want it to just grow and grow and grow.
Right.
Because
obviously,
you're never
the
pay
longer that
on.
You have it, the better it is.
Yes.
And that's where we run into seniors that say, well, I'm too old to do a Roth IRA. No. They say, well, it's better for young people. Well,
no.
Yeah, it is better for young people. But that doesn't mean it's not good for us older people.
Exactly.
Or even seasoned citizens that are in their 60s and even 70s.
Okay.
It just may not be as good as somebody who's in their 20s.
One more question we had on this, which has to do with converting your 401k to a Roth 401k.
Okay.
How do you know when it's better to go from your traditional 401k, for lack of a better word, to a Roth 401k?
Well, that's the same reasonings. It's the same ideas revolve around converting a 401k to a Roth 401k as a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, except for one difference. You better darn well be sure that you want to do this, because there is no undo button on a 401k conversion. Unlike that Roth IRA, that traditional to Roth IRA conversion we did, that we have, you know, if I do it right now, I've got, you know, a long time, 16 months, 17 months before I have to undo it. 401ks are one and done. There is no undo button on a 401k. So we're still going to look at, what's my tax bracket? What's going to cost me to do this? What's my tax bracket in retirement? What benefit am I going to get? Is there something that may be down or something of that nature? But I better darn well be sure, because I can't undo it. 401ks do not have the undo buttons.
Yeah, you have a Roth 401k. Yes, it's a Roth, but first and foremost, it's a 401k.
Yes.
And so all the 401k rules apply to those. If you inherit, say, a Roth 401k, I mean, are there required minimum distributions on that, or is it because you've got a Roth, because it's under the Roth umbrella, you don't?
If you inherit a Roth IRA, there's required minimum distributions. Inherited Roths, regardless of 401k or traditional or IRA size, Roths inherited have RMDs,
this
unless you're a spouse.
Non-spouse, that's what I'm saying.
Current spouse inheritors have a different set of rules. But yes, 401ks do have required minimum distributions, even for the owner.
Yeah, so on the inherited side, the Roth part of it, really for required minimum distribution purposes, doesn't mean anything anymore. It's either an IRA you inherited or it's a 401k you inherited. The Roth is for tax purposes.
Tax purposes. Now, what you were getting at is the owner. I don't have to die.
No.
The owner of a 401k, a Roth 401k, has an RMD. That's why you quit and roll it to an IRA.
That's right. You see, 401k. It's first and foremost a 401k. All right? The Roth happens to be there for tax purposes. All right. Email. I got to get some emails. More phone calls. We got lines open. So you give us a call. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Room to talk to the Brain Trust trivia and whatever else we got coming up next. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by. Biz Talk Radio is experiencing a brief loss of audio from our program host. Please stand by.
Saving for that retirement goal down the line. But it is a different set of rules, even though it could potentially be the same account. It's a different set of rules from the individual's ability to contribute. Now, it could actually, if he wanted to, help him become eligible to contribute to a deductible traditional IRA. It is, the SEP is a deductible expense. So let's say he really did have $6,000 of net after tax profit. $6,000 times 12 is $72,000. So notwithstanding anything else, his adjusted gross income is $72,000. Well, to be able to contribute to and deduct, if you have a retirement plan, a $5,500 contribution for him, his AGI has to be under $61,000. Well, if he does the plan, he puts $12,000 away, he goes from $72,000 down to $60,000.
He just made it.
He can still put money into a deductible traditional IRA, so he can do the roughly 20%, the $12,000 he's doing there, plus another $5,500. He can put away a lot of money. Unfortunately, he said his budget would only allow him to do $12,000. When you're a sole proprietor or when you're a small business, how you go about developing a retirement plan has a lot to do with that B word, budget. How much can you afford to put away? Because it may be really nice to have that 401k, but if you can't afford to put away more than $5,000, why go through the complexity of doing any kind of retirement plan? Just do an IRA. On the other side, if Chris had said he could save $20,000, $30,000 a year, then a SEP doesn't cut it. He would want to do a different type of plan that would allow him to go higher on the contribution
limit. Such as?
A solo 401k.
There you go.
So the budget is a big issue. And when you get into your 50s and maybe late 40s, budget is one part of it. Flexibility from year to year is another part. How flexible do you want your contributions, or do you want them structured?
Who's somebody who's self-employed, who should really consider something like what Chris would, you recommended for Chris, a SEP IRA?
Who should consider a SEP?
Sure.
Somebody who can't save more than 20% of their net self-employment income.
So even if they only have a small portion to save, a SEP could...
Well, I mean, if he said $4,000 was my limit, I'd say, well, an IRA is probably the best thing for you. It's really easy. It's deductible, and you
just
can do
it. Just
a traditional IRA. Why go through any complexities? If he wants to get it, once you get over the $5,500, but you're under the 20% of your pay, you know, net mm-hmm. Schedule C, or 25% of your salary if you're a subchapter S corp. Okay, now the SEP works really well. Now we're talking about a single individual here.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Once you get over that number, then you're looking at potentially a solo 401k, because now you have two pieces to it. You've got an employee salary deferral and an employer profit sharing contribution. The two of them together, you've got one that's limited at $18,000, one that's limited at 25% of pay or 20. Mm-hmm. There's all these different things.
Yeah,
but you go up, you can start saving quite a bit of money.
Well, you really can, assuming that you're, you know, if you're a business owner, a small business owner, assuming that you got the money to do so.
Now employees, they throw a monkey wrench into the system, because depending upon how long they've been with you, how much they make, things like that, you may have to include them, and that may be an expensive proposition to include them.
Yeah, coming up later on in September, we're going to be talking about financial planning for business owners, and we will cover more of that. We're out of time. Edith, I didn't get your email. I apologize. We'll get to it tomorrow. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, you can talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. Strategies involve investment subject to risks, fees, and expenses. There are no guarantees that any investing strategy will be profitable or provide protection from loss. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Wealth Services, a registered investment advisor, are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Lucia Wealth Services and Lucia Securities LLC are wholly owned subsidiaries of Lucia Capital Group. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of Lucia Capital Group or its affiliates.